Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he had begotten Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then in John chapter 6, John 6 and verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went away back and walked no more with him. Jesus therefore said to the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast words of life eternal, and we have believed and know that thou art the Holy One of God." And then finally in the first chapter of 1 John verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." As you probably know, I like to go for a walk. It's a good exercise. I was out yesterday walking along the Prom. It's encouraging actually to see in this wicked world so many families actually walking along together happily. Not so easy when you're by yourself, but I've read of three references to walking, and yesterday plenty of couples walking along, and reminded me of walking is important in the Christian pathway. It means that there has to be an agreement to keep in tow, as it were. How can two walk together unless they be agreed, it says. I just think this is a wonderful reference here. We don't know much about Enoch, except that he was on the good line, wasn't he? There's, as we know, two lines running through Scripture. He came from the line of Seth, which I suppose was really God's replacement for Abel. It was a good line. And he just comes into Scripture and then disappears again. Very little said about him, except he had a wonderful prophecy, of course, which is referred to in the New Testament. But it just says of Enoch that he walked with God. Simple statement, and yet, obviously God was very pleased with Enoch. He walked with God for many years. And it's just a challenge to my heart as we start, as our brother has said, a new year and a new decade, whether we're still walking with God. Walking to me, it speaks of that which is consistent. I think one thing that would have marked Enoch would be consistency. It's that relationship that we come into and can have. And you get the sense from reading the Scripture that God and Enoch, in a sense, just had a wonderful relationship to this point that there comes a point where he just transfers into God's presence. We've had courage to speak because of what we were reading of in Revelation and the coming of the Lord, as we know, this really is a reference to the rapture and being translated. And it's just a simple statement that here was Enoch, as it were, if you like, enjoying things to the full in a right relationship with his God. And then there comes a day when he's translated actually into his presence. And that's what the believer is looking for, as we've heard already, that we should be close to the Lord in a relationship with him. And then there comes a day when the spirit of it becomes actuality, and we're transferred actually into the presence of the Lord Jesus. And I go you to prepare you a place for your reading recently, that where I am, ye may also be. Enoch found this, and then for the believer, you and I, we can have that same hope and that same wonderful translation into God's, into the Lord's presence. It's just, I think, one of the commendations. There's many commendations in Scripture, and this is a good one, that Enoch walked with God. It's a wonderful reference to the relationship that he had, and I guess the hope that he had, because his prophecy is a wonderful prophecy too, about the Lord coming with his vast myriads. So I believe he had spiritual insight, and he had a vision, and he had hope, all things which the believer should have, an spiritual insight and a hope, and it's born from a relationship, a living, daily, constant relationship with God himself, for us, with the Lord Jesus. I just read in John, because this is almost the downside, this is where it all went wrong for these disciples. It's just quite telling, isn't it, that here were these, I don't know, they weren't the 12, of course. There were others that maybe have been hanging on. They were caught up in the spirit of the moment, but they were found out, weren't they? What the Lord had just been saying was very hard. I mean, let's not beat about the bush. This was hard. They said, the word is hard, who can hear it? This was not easy to understand, and it probably cut through the what was going on. And very often, you know, the words of the Lord find us out, don't they? And there comes a point where they, just as Enoch found a point where he was translated, there comes a point of testing here, and they say, well, the commentary is, from that time, that many of his disciples, that's quite affecting, that is, it's many of his disciples, it wasn't just a couple here and there, but there was a whole tranche of those that called themselves disciples. They says they turned, what does it say, they went away back and walked no more with him. I think that's very solemn, isn't it? They accompanied in the presence of the Lord Jesus, they'd heard his, they'd probably seen his wonderful deeds, and they'd heard his wonderful words, but those words were testing. And we're tested by the words of the Lord Jesus. If we're honest with ourselves, some of his, what he has to say, cuts right through us. It says the Scripture is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between joints and marrow. And the word of the Lord tries us, dear brethren, but here they were found wanting. It says they turned. What a sad thing it is for a believer to turn, if they were in fact genuine believers. But it says they walked no more with him. How sad that is. Alas, we've seen it in our day, haven't we? Many that once enjoyed things turned, and they walked no more with him. And then, as of course, we have that a wonderful appeal of the Lord. And so those that are concerned, those that have any conscience, as you might say, that any feeling after the Lord would just touch us, and he would elicit a response from us. Will ye also go away? What a touching thing that is. And the Lord would, the beginning of 2020, he would ask that of each one of us. Will ye also go away? Peter had the right answer. And we have to come to it, as we were singing at the beginning, that Christ might be exalted. God wants the Lord Jesus to be the focus of our attention. Who else can supply these things? Only him. It's only Jesus. Thou alone hast words of life eternal. If we're thinking of wandering off, dear brethren, and maybe we think we're in this company tonight, we're grown up and mature, but you know, none of us is immune from the temptations and the lures of the world, the flesh and the devil. And the Lord would even say to us, this juncture that we're in, would you also go away? And we have to reaffirm that thou alone hast words of life eternal. And I just read in John's epistle, because again, John writes in a very feeling way, doesn't he? He says, if we say, it's again a challenge to us, isn't it? The Lord challenged Peter and his disciples. Well, John here is challenging us, isn't he? If we say that we have fellowship with him, but we walk in darkness, we lie. It's very solemn that we can walk with the Lord and walk with God. It says here we can walk in darkness. How sad, how solemn that is, that we can be on that pathway. As I said at the beginning, there are only two roads, there's only two pathways. There's the broad one that leads to destruction, and there's the narrow one that leads to life. It says, if we say and we walk in darkness, we lie. In his John's typical black and white way of saying things, there's only one or other option, dear brethren. But he says, but if we walk in the light, well, that's what every believer should be doing. It's interesting, isn't it? If we walk in the light, the light of God's word, the light of the gospel, the light of the truth, the light of the Lord Jesus, if we walk in that light, then everything else is put in place, isn't it? We have fellowship with one another. That's our only common ground, dear brethren. It's not a social thing. Our commonwealth and our heritage, and what we have in common, is because we walk in the light. May we walk in the light. Enoch did. Peter did. Bless his heart. He found what it was to keep close to the Lord. He walked in the light. In fact, in his epistle, he speaks about appearing as lights in the world. May we be found then, not in walking in darkness, but walking in light. Again, it speaks to me of what is consistent as we start a new year. Let us be walking in the light. We have fellowship with one another. It's a wonderful thing that in this depressing world and this dark day, that believers can have fellowship with one another. And the basis is a walking in the light. And if there's any problem with that, if we have things that may be holding us back, then the remedy is given. It the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I wonder why it comes in there. And then there's a reason why the scripture is formed as it is. And I think the answer is that if there's anything to hinder that walking, there is the blood standing there, which is able to resolve every difficulty. Well, I just leave it that we might be encouraged to pursue our walk with the Lord Jesus, walk with God in a consistent way, that we might prove his will, that we might know something of his wonderful presence, and we might have that hope, which Enoch obviously did, of being translated into his very presence. May it be so for his name's sake.
Amen.